This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Amen.
Thank you. That was a long passage and a funny little passage. We can kind of relate to the things that are being talked about in that passage about the body. It's so good to be here with you this morning. The children's song that was sung this morning, God's Big Family, that is just something I'm going to take and talk about for you guys at a different level. And sometimes when the same message comes up in a different way from a different person and in a different place, that's the Spirit talking to the church, and we prick our ears up and say, well, what are you saying? It's so good to be here. I tend to speak at a few different PWs when I'm asked, and I was speaking at Forum yesterday, the training event for PW. So thank you for inviting me this morning. But my message this morning isn't just for the PW women, although I'm here for you and championing you. I'm speaking to all women. And actually, I'm not just speaking to the women, because the message that I have for the PW women and then for the women is also for the guys here too. So you don't get to tune out this morning. I feel, and I was just saying to BJ today and to Gillian, I feel like I'm going through a personal age crisis at the minute. I find that I've gone from Googling skinny jeans and the latest fashion to what the best vacuum cleaner is or what the best wrinkle cream is. I'm now starting to tick another box. You know, when you start a survey and what age bracket do you fit in, I'm now ticking another one all of a sudden. And I realised I've got teenage children. I speak at Christian Union events at Queen's and Stranmillis, and I realised a few months ago that actually they could be my children. That's quite a scary thought. So I feel like I'm going through this personal age crisis. And actually, when it comes to age, society is going through a crisis. We've got a crisis of age going on in our society and communities. A statistic was released last week that 225,000 older people across the UK often can go one whole week without speaking to anybody. That's a lot. We now have appointed a loneliness minister in Westminster to deal with the isolation going on in communities, especially for an older generation. During the pandemic, we called these people the most vulnerable. We got their bread and milk, but actually maybe forgot that we had neglected another generation in our communities for a long time before the pandemic. And the charity Age UK and Cadbury's The Chocolate Company, they came up with this campaign called Share Your Words. And they challenged people to get a chocolate bar and go to an elderly neighbour or another relative of another generation and to share your words, to ask them to tell them a story of their life. And then they would tell a story back to them. And the slogan in this campaign was, you don't know what might come back to you. You don't know what might surprise you, the story and the connection that you can make across those generations. Ageism is a new thing in the world. It's a new discrimination that people are aware of. And in the workplace, the government have now released some legislation telling companies how they can't be ageist and how not to not employ people or to treat people in the workplace because of age. But actually, the focus for age isn't just on the older generation, because there's a lot of research and concern in community and from government about the young people, this generation which is now called millennials. Have you heard of that word, the millennial generation? I am not in it. But really because of this, because of social media, because the digital world is in our back pockets now, and this is the world that these young people exist in, social media. And we have never been so connected globally, locally to people, and yet so disconnected and isolated. And the statistics and the need around mental health, around anxiety and depression, largely in this younger generation and the millennial generation for so many different reasons, is really stark, and it's really concerning people who are in public sector. Surely we, because we're the church, because we have all these different generations, you know, we keep having babies, you know, we keep getting older. Surely we have something to say into this crisis of age going on around us. But actually, when it comes to age, we're in a bit of a crisis in the church. When it comes to these millennial generation, people aged around 18 to 30, there's research done that show that 6 out of 10 of those, that generation, are walking away from faith in their early 20s. 60% of the children we put through our churches are walking away. And when that 3 to 4 out of 10 who are left, who are holding on to faith, and they're asked, well, why did you stay with faith? What's helped you in your church, in your personal spiritual life? Church isn't even mentioned. It's things like podcasts, like YouTube worship, like going to a good conference, like their peer groups. Church has not really made a big dent in these people's spiritual life. And so we've got to ask, well why? And why not? What do we do to be better? The census statistics in society show in Northern Ireland that a massive rise of young adults are just walking away from any kind of systemized faith, church, whatever that is. And when those 4 out of 10 Christian millennials who are holding onto their faith are asked, well, what was good? What works in the church? The biggest by far, like when you look at the bar graphs, it's like the one that stands out here that's really, really making a difference to help them hold on to their faith. They say, I had a close personal relationship with an adult 1 or 2 generations above me. It wasn't really the quality of singing. It wasn't really the quality of preaching, although these things help. It was that people had come alongside them, shown an interest in them, loved them, walked with them, listened to them, shared their life story with them. This millennial generation who are starting to be missing from the church are desperate for an authentic witness. They want to see your life at the stage that I'm now at. I want to know from people who are older than me, what was life like as a young mum? How did you parent your teens? What did you do in your marriage? What did you do in your work? And we have, the PW theme is deeper together. And that's right, because in every part of church life, we've got to start figuring out how do we go deeper together across the generations and across the gender divide, male, female. And that's right where PW is. And you've got so much to give into a local church family. We haven't just got a crisis personally or in the society or in the church. Part of this crisis has become because we've got a bit of a crisis sometimes in our theology of church and what we understand to be church. Over the pandemic, when we couldn't go to church, to the building, and do the church things that we've always done the way we'd always done them, the question started to be asked, and I was sitting in lots of these little conversations, well, what is the church? It's not the building. What is it? If it's not the program and the service, what is the church? And I think sometimes that we have focused so heavily on our personal salvation that's going to be future. We've got that assurance of heaven that we've forgotten about the bit in between now and the future. Maybe we've seen church as a place where we can nourish Christian faith as a knowledge and an understanding. And so we send our kids out here and we've got the youth thing going on over here. And we've maybe forgotten that the Christian faith isn't just a box of things to tick and learn, but the Christian faith is a whole new way of living and a whole new community together to live in that really different way. And so we don't go to church or become a member of church or commit to a church because it helps me spiritually. We do these things because we realize we've been part of a new body, the body of Christ. We are a member of something really amazing and really beautiful. There is no community like this on earth. So the reading that we took today was from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. And Paul is writing to this little church that was scattered across this city. And Corinth was a crazy city. It was like the LA. It was like the most progressive liberal city that you can think of. That's what Corinth was in the time of the early church. It was this port in between the Eastern world and the Western world. And so all these merchandises and trades and ideas and new gods, new idols were coming from east to west and going from west to east and meeting in this place called Corinth. And they were just like, oh yeah, we'll have some of that. We'll have some of that. It was a city full of immorality. There was slavery and oppression and injustice. There was idol worship. The sex trade was going crazy there. And Paul went around kind of Acts 17, 18-ish, and he preaches and he proclaims Jesus in this city. And people believe and they come and they say, yeah, I want to be part of that. What has Jesus done? Now, Paul's writing to a church not like this, because they didn't have buildings, and they didn't have organization, and they didn't have structure. They were maybe like about 200 believers living in this crazy city of Corinth, scattered into households across the city. And Paul's letter would have been written and taken around these different households and read. There was maybe about 30 people in each of the house churches, and the church was about 5 years old when Paul was writing to the church. And really he's writing because all these divisions in society were starting to seep into the church. So in the church, there were so many social divisions. There were Jews over here and there were Greeks over here. There were men in one corner, women in the other corner. And there were slaves and then people who owned the slaves all together in this little church. It sounds a bit crazy, doesn't it? I would not like the job of being that minister. But Paul is writing this letter and he wants to help this little baby church learn what God has done in the creation of a new kind of community, of how to bring these people together to be one. And if Paul's writing because it really matters about what it looks like to be the church, then it matters for us too in our context. And Paul uses this image of a body, and it kind of works for us because we all have parts of the body, and sometimes our parts stop working, especially when you start to tick that little age bracket, doesn't it? I have to get my eyes tested. My teeth are not in good condition. My toe and my knees don't let me run the way I used to run. And Paul is using this little image because people can relate to it. But also in Corinth, in that city, they talked about the whole society as a body, and it had certain parts, big parts and little parts, the parts that were more important than others and the parts that weren't that important. And, you know, sure, if they weren't even in it, it didn't really matter. And so when Paul's writing and using this body talk and this body language, he's actually turning it all upside down, because he says, see the people that you think don't matter? They're the most important ones. And so we've got to take this image of the body and read it into our communities today. Across this divide of generations, across the divide of men and women. And so the PW people, you've got so much to give into this conversation about what it really looks like to be a church. Now, Paul understands that the church isn't just a social club. It's not just something that I go because it's kind of good for me. What he's saying to the church in Corinth is, you have become a thing, a new thing that didn't exist before. You don't go and dip in because you get something out of it. You go because God has done something. He's taken you and plugged you together with other people who are different to you, and you've become something. It's called the church. It's called a faith community in Christ. You are the body of Christ. If you look at verse 12 and then verse 27, Paul writes and he says, the body has many parts, so it is with... Now, if I'm just kind of reading that, I expect him to say the church. So it is with the church has many parts. But he says, so it is with Christ. And if you look at verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Paul is saying that you, because you are the church in this place, you're Christ's body. You're his presence on earth, a tangible people who make him known and make him known to each other. You're not just a wee socially connected group of people like the golf club or my running group. You're something different. And so how are we different? And there's a lot of conversations about how we do this togetherness going on. Well, Paul says in verse 13, you were all baptized. That means you were joined to, you were united to, you were connected to one body. And you're connected to that body in Christ. And so if I am joined to Christ, that's what it means for me to be a Christian. I'm in him. He is in me. I've changed. I'm a new person. And if you guys are each in Christ, then you've also become part of each other in that spiritual way. You're not just here because you're friends and you've got something in common. You're here because the Spirit has knit you together, sewn you together, stitched you together, baptized you together into one new community. Now, that's a massive thing. That's a beautiful thing, because you won't find that anywhere else, especially today. And we've got to live into that, and we've got to live out of that, and we've got to resist the temptation to, within this body, form little groups who only talk about the things we want to talk about and say, you guys don't matter. Whatever those little groups are, whether they're men talking about the women or the women talking about the men, or the older generation and the younger generation, or often in other churches, the younger generation dismissing the older generation. And we've got to learn how to become together. The Christ body as the church is supposed to be different. Like Paul uses this kind of funny talk, and it's kind of a bit of a joke, and he's a wee bit sarcastic. You know, Northern Irish, we love a bit of sarcasm. We get Paul. And he says, look, if... You know, the ears and the eye, if the body was all ears, you know, you couldn't see, you couldn't be the body. You would just be a pile of ears sitting on the ground. And if you were all eyes, you know, you could do that really, really well. Like, you could see really well, but you're not the body. And he says, you know, if someone says, well, I'm a foot, so I don't belong to the body, I'm over there, doesn't mean that the foot isn't part of the body. The body has to make the foot be part of the body. And if, you know, we're a hand and we're the body are saying, oh, we don't need you, we can't do that because we do need the hands in the body. We need all parts of people in the body of Christ. My husband does a lot of work with students, and there's a lot of young adults churches growing up. And he was speaking at a young adults church, and he said, you know, that everybody said, I've found my people. And he said, no, you haven't. Because these people, they don't have the life experience that you need. That's not what the body of Christ is. And so we got to kind of listen in and say, well, where are the parts that are missing? Where are the parts that are heavy? Where are the parts that are valued? And how do we start valuing people in a different way? My daughter is 12, and we're watching Call the Midwife together at the minute. And it suddenly clicked with her that the people that she really loves and thinks, oh my goodness, you're doing amazing work in this London community, that they are all maybe in their 60s and 70s today. And she's saying to me, who are those people? Can I talk to them? I want to know what life was like. And she went across the road to a 90-year-old neighbor of ours. She just turned 90 this year. She's an amazing lady. And she went and brought her over something that we had made. And they got chatting at the door. And I thought, where is Tabitha? And she was standing at the door talking to Lorna. And Lorna had brought a little chair out, and she was just sitting. Lorna was an amazing woman. She was a single lady, but she was a teacher. She changed the education system here in her day in small little ways. And Tabitha was just listening, fascinated by this. And I thought, amazing. She's getting to hear stories that really matter. And she was then telling Lorna about what she was doing and the little disco that she was at the night before and what she was wearing and all of this. And Lorna was listening to her, and there was a lovely conversation that went on. And actually, Lorna's a Christian, and they started to talk about Jesus and how they were Christians at that stage. And there was a beautiful moment. And we've got to start digging into what it really means to be God's family. In every congregation, that looks different. I used to be part of Windsor Baptist, which is just down the road. They have got a massive influx of people from different cultures and races right now. They are figuring out what it looks like for them to be family. I go to Orangefield Presbyterian. We've got a lot of kids with special needs, and we're figuring out what does it look for us to be one body when these kids are different and their needs are different. That togetherness, the oneness, the bodiness, is this word called koinonia. And I saw you have a little group that gathers. I don't know what it does. Well, that is the key to koinonia, because Paul talks about this. You eat together. You eat together, you share life together, you chat together. It's so important. And this beautiful word koinonia was something really different, because it's not what you get at the football club or the running group or the book club or the knitting club that my mum goes to. It's deeper, because it's really about that spiritual connection. So when I'm gathering with my people from my body in Christ, I think we belong together. There's something between us which is different to my other friends. It's a powerful thing. And in Corinth, it was where people from the outside world were looking at these little houses and families where Jews and Greeks were sitting at the same table together. That never happened in society. Where men and women were becoming equals, that didn't happen in society. And where slaves and slave owners were figuring out, how do we sit at the same table in the house together where you actually serve me during the week and I tell you what to do, but how do we sit around this communion table around Christ together? And it changed society. It changed the way the world thought of what it looks like to belong together and what's good. And social justice was all in the middle of that as well. And we've got to start digging into that across the generations. Well, what does it look like? You've got to kind of look at your own congregation and figure out, well, where are we? Who have we got? What's the wealth of life experience? Where is it needed? Where are the gaps? Who's missing? Where do these people connect really meaningfully? Do they connect meaningfully? How do we start connecting those little conversations like Tabitha had with Lorna at the door, where people can walk together, sharing in Christ together? We've got to perceive. Perceive is a funny word. It's not just to see, but it's to understand what we see and to see each other in a different way. So it's not walking into a church and just thinking, well, I'm here, me, I like those people, but to see everybody and to celebrate, these are my family. This is my body. I want to give you a challenge, and I'm speaking mostly today because it's half term, maybe mostly to an older generation. I'm going to give you that Age UK Cadbury's challenge, and I'm going to give you a challenge. You can take your time over the next lot of weeks, but I want you to buy an Easter egg, whatever that Easter egg is, and I want you to move towards someone from a different generation and share your words with them. You can figure out what that looks like. You can tell them some of your story. You can ask them some of their story. But share your words with someone in this church across a generation, maybe across a gender gap, whatever that looks like. You figure out who God's asking you to move towards. And to use the Age UK campaign, you might be surprised at what comes back to you. It's been so good to be here today. I have this conversation with churches all over the city of Belfast, all over Northern Ireland, and it's a really important conversation because we're starting to relearn what it means to be this beautiful people, knit together in the spirit and the person of Jesus Christ.
Let us pray for others. Dear God, thank you for the Presbyterian woman. Thank you for the light that shines from the Peyton Halls on a Monday night. Thank you for the door that opens to a warm welcome and a warm room and wonderful comradeship. A port of call on a wet, cold or frosty night. An anchor for many. Thank you for devotions that bind us together and help us feel your love. Thank you for good food and chat, for outings and dinners, and friendship with other PWs. Thank you for the speakers who treat us to their knowledge, their skills, and their humour, and we pray for those who devote their lives to helping the underprivileged at home and abroad, often endangering their own lives. However, our PW would not exist without its dedicated and diligent office bearers and committee. We give thanks for them. Be with them and guide them in these changing times. Likewise, we pray especially for Donna as she works to spread word of the Christian faith in a modern age. And now, as we have been doing in previous weeks, we pray for those who live or work in homes in close proximity to our church buildings, those in the Lisburn Road, from the King's Hall to Harberton Park, and Bristow Park as far as Drummond and Shrewsbury Park. May your love surround them. As one of the worst humanitarian crises ever unfolds in Turkey and Syria, most of our prayers this week will have included the people of these countries. For them, no light at the front door, nor even a front door, nor a home to enter, nor even a family waiting to embrace them. Nothing. Their loss is unbelievable and their grief unbearable. We pray that people around the world will put aside politics and unite to provide effective aid and be generous in their giving. We pray for all those affected by the earthquake, and our hearts reach out to them. We ask for your guidance on all those involved in rescue operations and pray for their safety. May the injured be healed and the thousands and thousands who have been bereaved be comforted. Thank you, God, for the light that shines at our front doors, for the safety of our cozy homes, and for our loving families. Bless each and every home and those who live within. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.